Enduring that? Not her, me. Thank you for enduring playing. I would rather preach three sermons back to back than do that, so. But it stretches me. So kind of on the, to start this morning, for those of you who are parents, which is a good chunk of you in here, I imagine that when you had your first child, you realized how much it changed you. I thought that marriage was a little difficult when we first got married, a little adjustment, but the first year is wonderful. But I would take that first year over the first couple weeks of having a baby. And I don't say that negatively. I loved having a baby. But it stretched me in ways that marriage didn't. And it definitely changes, and you know what I'm talking about, it definitely changes priorities. It changes the way you view things. Both getting married and having kids within the last 2 years really even changed the way I see scripture. And that's really an adjustment for me because, you know, I'm 31 years old, so my whole life I've kind of read each and every chapter one way. And then all of a sudden I get married and then I have we have a baby and I'm like, wow, like that chapter does not look the same to me. And the way that I process through that, what that means to me is different. And that's not primarily what I'm talking about today, but a lot of this message is in context of just going about our daily life and all that change and what that looks like and how to readjust and what is that new normal. So some of what I say today, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I got that 7 kids ago. And for me, it is new and fresh. So excuse me if some of it's like, well, you've got that down. I'm still learning. So just bear with me on that. But me and Jen have talked a lot about what is the simple, what is the normal, what is being faithful in that look like. And this morning, I kind of wanted to just go over that in thoughts of a few passages, because most of us fall into the category of not making big ripples when it comes to society, right? Most of us, we live in our community, we live in Indiana, but outside of our own community and our own church and our own families, our names aren't really that well known. And so most of us just live in the simple, where we know people who, hey, they're well known throughout the U.S. I know quite a lot of people who, many people would know them by name if I mentioned them. But I'm not one of those people, and so I live in the normal, I live in the simple, but I want to do it well, and is the normal okay? And so just a few passages this morning, and we'll take what we can from it. One of the quotes that have been going around in my head, now I'm sure some of you have not watched The Hobbit, which is kind of after the Lord of the Rings series. One of the quotes that one of the characters does that I really like, he says, some believe it is only a great power that can hold evil in check, but that is not what I have found. It is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love. And I actually really liked that because I think that growing up, and I mentioned this a few sermons ago, that when I was younger, I really had this passion and desire to be a great preacher, and I wanted to be well known. I wanted to be one of those guys that everyone's like, oh, Billy Graham, you know, I'm not reaching too high right there to just be known like him. But there's some arrogance in that, but there's also the desire just to want to impact people. And definitely there were times that it was like, I just want glory. Other times it's, I just want to touch people's lives and have that kind of range. This idea that only those with great influence and great power can make a difference. I really like this quote. But when I was younger, one of the simple prayers that I often prayed was one that we read in Scripture a lot. It says that when we enter into heaven, and it talks about the dividing of the sheep and goats, but then it says that Jesus will say to you, what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And one of the prayers I prayed growing up was simply that. It's like, Lord, I want to hear that. And I want to be seen as faithful. I want to be known as faithful in His eyes more than anyone else. Because, you know, honestly, many of us in this room, the things that you do, and there's some of you that I know in particular I'm thinking about, but you do things that no one will ever see or no one will ever know. And so that prayer was often, Lord, even if I am never seen, even if I'm never known, even if I never do those great things I aspire to, I really want to hear those words. I want you to be pleased with me because He's the greatest judge of that character. And so one of the things I wrote down here was I think much of my life I overcomplicate things and I misunderstand things. And I misunderstood oftentimes what pleases God. Another thing I've probably mentioned here, so you've probably heard all of the times that I've mentioned it, but growing up, I found I really did struggle with my self-value and self-worth, not so much in my looks, but in my abilities. And I oftentimes compare myself to other men. I didn't grow up with the ability to be a good engineer or a good at construction. I really didn't do a lot of those things. I grew up farming, but I didn't even drive a tractor. And so if you ask me today, hey, you want to build a house for me? I'll say, hey, I'll hold the hammer and nails and I'll put the sheet of wood down. But if you want me to help you construct this or give me my corner, you're not going to want to see what it becomes. And I really struggled with this, and I still do. In fact, actually, I worked with Chad one year at Kentucky, and we built a house, or at least a kind of an addition to a little trailer. And he just knew what to jump into. He's like, we're digging the holes, and he's like, okay, you guys go here, you guys do this. We're going to bury it here. And I'm just watching him, and I'm like, I hope he doesn't realize actually how little I know. So I'm going to try to find those jobs or assist in those areas that I do know, which is very small. The reason I say that is just, in all honesty, those are things I struggled with growing up. And so for myself, the only things that I really enjoyed, but I also, at least I thought that I did okay at, was God gave me gifts in ministry. I like to speak. I like to teach. I like to, I'm about to say, a gift to play and sing. But I enjoy those kind of things, and I think that God gave me at least some talent to do that, whether or not to lead or not, I don't know. But I did find myself finding my identity in that. And as you guys know, I became youth pastor a while back here for a short time. And then not long after that, I became youth pastor in Fort Wayne. The church in Fort Wayne had asked me to be their treasurer and all these things. So I found myself, Scott's laughing because he was the one who got me through that terrible 2 years. As I coughed my way through it and tried to pretend like I knew what I was doing, and he helped me with all the legality stuff. But I came to appreciate Scott a lot through that. But in those couple years, I carried many hats. Now, whether I did those hats well or not, I'm not quite certain. But in a way, there were some days that I really enjoyed it because I really loved that participation, learned to grow and to pour into people. And then there were some days that it was like, I can't lose this because it's all I have. And there were days I wanted to give up from youth pastoring, not because... I wanted to give up because I looked at what I was doing and I was like, I don't feel like I'm having any success. I don't think I'm really getting anywhere. But then I was so scared to quit because I'm like, this is all I have. This is my name. This is my reputation. If I don't have this, what's going to please God? And I'm just being honest. These are things I really battled through. And but then God began to give me some assurance in that. And one of the things that I realized, and a few people warned me, they said, you're going to hit a wall. You're doing too much. And you're not, and one of the things I conclude, I'm not doing them all very well because I'm stretched thin. I've got a full-time job, I've got 2 youth groups, I'm doing the church treasury, and on top of it, doing this, this, and this. And I began to realize, and the Lord was very clear that I wasn't doing a lot of it very well. And he asked me to step aside from a few things, and so I stepped aside from the youth group here because you guys have done such a great job of raising your kids that I was like, they don't really need me right now. The youth group in Fort Wayne had a lot more struggles. They had a lot more issues in their families, and I really felt that was where I needed to be. Stepped down from the treasury and said, I'll finish up my term, but I really need to let go of this. And it's amazing, though, because when I was able to focus and dedicate myself to a few things, I realized that I could do those things well. And there was a lot more joy in my life. But I believed that the more that I did, the more I pleased God. And I grew up knowing the verses that say faith without works, you know, doing works and all those things. And yet, even though I knew the truth that none of my works was going to be the thing that got me in with God, I still lived that way because internally it was like, well, here's my failings, here's my insecurities, here's the things I'm not good at. If I do these in abundance, maybe I'll hear those words, well done. And I'm sharing those things because just because those were things I dealt with back then, there are still days that I'm like, what do I need to accomplish to please my Heavenly Father? And so it is a constant battle for me, but he's really teaching me and helping me. And so I want to read a few passages now that I've gotten my part out of the way. I'm just going to do 3 different portions of Scripture, and I just want to share a few things. We're going to go to Mark 12 first. It's going to be a very familiar passage. Mark 12, and we're going to read, start 41. Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in a large amount, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." I think I've probably preached on this passage a handful of times throughout the years, but I actually needed to read this one for myself a lot this week, and I told you at the beginning some of the adjustment of being a new dad, and on top of all the things that the hats that I was talking about I wore, I also loved foreign missions. I loved traveling. I loved going to Sierra Leone. I went to Poland when we did, and so I liked filling my time with that. I was single. I had the money. I had the free time, and I loved doing all those things. And one of the things in getting married and being a dad that I realized is a lot of those things I can't do now. A lot of them I don't have the time or the ability or the funds or the resources, and everything has shifted over to being a dad and a husband. And there are days that I love that, and other days it's frustrating because I feel like I'm not doing enough, that I'm not impacting enough areas, and I'm not doing, you know, going above and beyond. And this verse, or these couple verses, have really touched my heart this week. This idea that Jesus was sitting and just watching. He wasn't saying anything at the beginning. He was observing the comings and goings of the everyday people and their everyday life. And no one that I'm aware of really knew he was watching. It doesn't say all the people were gathered to Jesus. It said he was sitting there and he was observing the people coming and giving their offerings, both large, both little. I'm sure I could go back there and get the offering thing and read out your checks, and we'd have varying amount of cost and amounts given to missions or just tithe or whatever it is you want to give to. And Jesus is noticing what people are throwing in. They don't have their checks, so he's seeing the coins. And this little woman, this widow who goes up there, throws in her, I would say, a couple pennies to you and me. And there's all these other people who are businessmen and Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people who have great wealth putting in their money. And I can just see them kind of like standing at the offering plate, making sure everyone can watch and throwing extra in. And everyone knows that those people are really the ones impacting the running of the society. They're the ones who help in the giving and the poor and all that stuff because their money is great and wonderful. And yet Jesus doesn't even mention who they are or what they look like. He mentions a little woman who goes up and gives all that she had to live on in a simple amount. Now, I like this because in all reality, if right now I went back there and I took it out, and some of you maybe gave a dollar, that dollar's not going to go too far. I'm not discrediting your dollar. It's more than I gave this morning. But if somebody put down a $1,000 check, which one's going to do more in this church building? In a physical sense, that $1,000 is going to go a lot further. And I say that because we often see through these eyes. What amount can I give to actually further the kingdom of God? What amount can I give that's actually going to make an impact? And so what did those two little coins do? Well, in light of what she did, not very much tangibly or physically in the normal. And yet Jesus calls her out and says, "This woman gave more." And the problem with this is it wrecks my entire world and the way that I grew up thinking. My thought process was always wrong. Because in my head, I believed that the more I did, whether a large amount or a little, or whether I did it well or did it poorly, the more hats I wore, the more that I gave, the more of my time, the more travels that I did, the happier he was. And in this one simple story, he says, "This woman gave more than all of them." And I hope in that moment it actually maybe starts you thinking on maybe what your week looked like. And maybe you think you had a really successful week in what you did and how you spent your days, you spent your hours. I hope it puts that into light. And maybe some of you feel like it was a great week and you got all the stuff you needed done. Some of you probably are thinking, "Man, I really wish I did more," or "I really wish I got to that project," or "I really wish I had given what I was hoping to give, maybe to take that meal to that person I was thanking." He says, "Truly I tell you this, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth," which either that means they gave, it doesn't even say they gave with a bad attitude, does it? It says they just had a lot, and so they gave, and pretty much what I take from that is it didn't really hurt them any. they gave a large amount, but they still had a large amount. And he said, this woman gave, and she gave most of what she had, if not all of what she had, with the right heart. She wasn't looking for glory. I doubt that she was over there like, oh, Jesus is looking. I'm going to be remembered for this story. One day someone's going to preach about me. That wasn't happening. Just says she went up and gave what she had. So I'm going to start with that story. And we're not going to read it because it would take a little time, but I want you to consider Matthew 26, 14 through 13. And this is the story, again, I'm just going to mention it, but Matthew 26, 14 through 30, if you want to write that down and read it, you can. This is the story of the talents. This is where the three servants have the master, and you guys know the story. The master gives each of them a portion of money, and then he goes on a trip. And now, do they get equal portions? No. He gives one a certain amount, he gives the second servant a little bit less, and he gives the third servant a little bit less than that, and then he goes on a trip and comes back. Now, while he's gone, the story goes where the first one goes out, and again, I read through it, but he goes and pretty much doubles his profits. He goes out and invests, he goes and makes a good purchase that ends up, you know, bringing in more income than what he was given. The second servant went out and he doubled his profits and brought it back. And the third went out, and in his fear, what did he do? He buried it, right? He just buried it in the ground, said, well, if nothing else, I'll just give this back to the master, and at least he wouldn't have lost anything. And the story goes, Jesus comes back, or the master comes back, and he comes to the first servant and he says, well done. It wasn't, you doubled it, that's what I was looking for. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Second one, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Comes to the third one, not quite the same response. He says, you fool. And he says, pretty much, you wasted what was given to you. Now you're cast out. What you have been given is now going to be taken away and given to someone else. So there's a lot in that story and a lot of directions we could go, but I want to pick out the most simple. Is that every single person in this room has a different capacity, has a different gift, and frankly, your bank accounts all look different, and mine looks different than yours. To all of us, we've been given something at different levels. There are those that have a much greater ability than me to do certain things, and there are some areas that God's given me a better ability than you in this and that. We've all been given different. But what God pulls out through this and what the word is talking about is it has nothing to do with what they were originally given, right? All that matters in this story is what they did with it. And it wasn't about trying to outdo each other. It wasn't about competition. It wasn't about winning. It wasn't about proving themselves. It was making the best use of what you've been given. Simply this, faithfulness. Faithfulness in what they had. As I said, I struggled growing up because I really struggled with comparison. And I was like, well, I can't do as well as them. If we're going to do this project, I'm not able to give as much as them. Or as far as financially, there's a project that he's done. I don't have enough to give like some of these other people. What pleases God here in the connection of these two stories is that Jesus is not looking at what you have. He's looking at what you do with what you have. And unfortunately for the third guy, if he had just gone out and tried to do something with it, I think it would have pleased the master no matter how much return he had. I think we're doing a tractor show. I'm going to go to the last portion of Scripture and finish. And this is actually the verse that I want to pull out more than anything else I read. And it's one that me and Jen have been talking about throughout the week. It really gets down to kind of my opening. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. And we're going to read 9 through 12. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so much more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Now, I told Jenna this morning, I said, one of the hardest things is when you read scripture and you're not certain all that it's talking about. And sometimes when you teach or preach, it's easy to try to squeeze a meaning into a portion of scripture, and it's really hard to divide that. And so as you're studying, it really takes some time. So I'm not going to try to expand too much on this, but it's a verse that's been in my heart, and I was thinking of this. What he is saying here to these people is like, he first talks about in this chapter about the way that they should love purely, and he talks about the sexual immorality that abounds in the area, and he says, that is exploiting people, that is taking from people, and he says, I'm calling on you to live a holy and a pure life. And he moves forward, and he says, now about loving people around you. You have loved around there, and he's like, I don't really need to mention this because you're doing that well, but he says, what I'm encouraging you to do is to love even more so than you have been. That love would grow and grow and grow in your community and in your society. And then he just kind of gives some practical advice. He says that you would live a simple and quiet life, that you would mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And I'm just going to give you what I see from there. Maybe you see something different, and that's fine. Is that one of the most important things that you and I will ever do is right around us. In this community, in our families, and in our surroundings. One of the things that I wrote down, let's see if I wrote it down here. Say, because I gave Jenna something I was thinking while I was writing, so I thought I wrote it down here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The quote I was saying is, I oftentimes, and I've told you guys this before, talk a lot about me today, but one of the things I do, especially around election time, I really get involved in politics in my head, and I try not to, but it overwhelms me, and I do, and I listen to what's going on, not only in our country, but the countries around us. And I told her, I was like, I love this verse because it is not a neglect or a hiding of one's face to focus on your community. It is not a lack of caring about what's happening further out, but rather it is the focus on the thing that matters most, the thing that you and I can and will affect better than anything else. And one of the things I wrote down here is that back in when this was written, I want you to imagine the time, and I will come to a close pretty soon. Back in that time, there was no social media, right? There was no access to planes and trains and all this stuff. So if you imagine today, you and I have really quick resources to get to one place or another. And right now, all of us could pull out our phones. You could look up a few articles and see what's going on in Kenya. You could see what's going on in Poland. You can see what's going on in Russia, China, and Ukraine. We hear about it all day, every day. And so we have all this access to the happenings, the goings on, and in one moment you and I can purchase a ticket and fly across the country today or tomorrow. The access that we have to so much information, I don't think what we've done with it fully is really what God had intended for us. And you know why? It's because you and I have such limited capacity to influence outside things. And yet we carry the weight of so much. And I often do that, and yet really the only thing that I can impact from day to day is my wife and son. And yet I realize that's really where I'm called right now. And in that verse it says to live a quiet life, to not really get involved in other people's business, to be faithful in what you have, work with your hands. Other people will observe this. They will see the strength of your family. They will see the way that you raise your kids. They will see the way that you love your spouse. And that makes a great difference. All the worrying in the world does not solve Russia, Ukraine, and America's problems for me. When's the last time that you did anything to influence what's going on over there? Not me. But every day my wife is impacted by the attitude that I have. She's impacted by the way that I love her, the way that I lead, the decisions that I make. And every day my son's impacted by the decisions that I make and how I take care of my family. That is the place that I get influence. And I really battle with this because I'm like, I'm going to go there and preach this sermon, and most of these families have probably got that under control. And they get that. They've already learned that. And I'm like, I'm over here like, wow, this is all new. And yet it's such a joy and a peace for me to rest in the fact that what I can do is focus on the thing that matters most to God in my life outside of my relationship with Him. And that's the thing that I impact every day. And I think by extension, what this verse is saying, you want to touch your community, love your family. You want to touch your state, love your community. What happened last Sunday night was probably greater than anything we accomplished in this church building in the last year. I wasn't even there, but I got to hear about it. Me and Jenna are on our way home. I wish I could have been here, and I heard a lot of good things from it. But that is how you make that impact. And even that last part, I'm not sure what that means about not having need from anybody. I'm not dependent on anybody. Part of that is, I think that when I work with my hands and take care of my family and I'm wise with what I have, I'm not constantly being a burden on everybody, but I actually have more resources to give to others. Maybe that's what it means, maybe it doesn't, but I would much rather be able to say, hey, I got something to help you out than say, I'm constantly needing help. And all of us are going to be at places that we need help. And there's always going to be times that we can give. But I want to work towards having something to offer others. I want to work with my hands. Even if I'm not good at construction, I can work with my hands and other things. I had a lot of things written down here I'm not going to use. But I will tell you, I don't know. I don't think that I'm probably the one who loves foreign missions more than anyone here, but I love to travel. And I've gone to a lot of the places that we've supported, and I love doing that. That's why I asked to be the missions coordinator, because I love to be a part of what's going on overseas. But one of the things that hit me really strong this week was all the investment into Sierra Leone and Poland means nothing if I don't care about my community and my neighbor. We can give all the money we want, and honestly, all the trips I've taken, it's a small pinprick of investment that I've been able to make there. But if I'm not focused on my community and my own town and my neighbor, on our property, we have a older lady who lives near us, and she's single, she's a widow, and it's so awesome to be able to be a part of her life. And it just hit me again last night how important it is to be a part of her life. I've known this, but it hit me so much stronger that that's what pleases God, is the simple and the everyday life. So I close with thoughts of my wife, since she told on me this morning about the 10 to... No, I'm not going to tell anything. But I titled this message, Be Faithful in the Simple, and being married to Jennifer, especially as long as we've had Declan, it's amazing to watch her faithfulness and to watch her sacrifice of herself and to give even when it's painful, even when she's exhausted in the times that I can't help because I've got to go. And that she sacrifices a lot, and many of you moms, you've sacrificed a lot for your kids, but I'm getting to see it up close for the first time for my own wife when it comes to being a mom. I'll tell you that pleases me. And the reason I think that pleases God is because it does please me. I think that by extension, He is pleased by that. I will say, not everything I said today came out the way I'd hoped it would. But I want you to rest in the simple of this week. That all the stress about what's happening outside of your reach is really nothing compared to what you actually have influence on. And those little things are important. The everyday life, the weeding of your garden, the time you spend with your spouse, the holding of your child, or the holding of your grandchild. Those are the things that matter to God. So the widow's mite, God didn't really care how much she gave. It was that she gave of her heart. She gave what she had. As little as it seemed, He was more pleased by that. So I am done with my part. So I want to say two things. Number one, congratulations to two families that are here for the marriage that took place last week. I think that pleases the Lord. I think it's beautiful in His sight when two believers come together and start a family and get married and have joy in that. I think that is one of the healthiest things for a community, healthiest things for a family, one of the most beautiful things in God's sight. And it's simple, and yet it changes everything and everything around them. So congratulations. I want to give anyone an opportunity in closing to share to share about last week. Does anybody have a testimony, something that you saw or experienced? Because that honestly is the simple. That is the everyday life that we so desperately want to be a part of. So anybody have a testimony? Yeah.
So I guess testimony-wise, just seeing all the unfamiliar faces.